we inform.
Our work isn't easy. It was never intended to be easy. Our job as Christians is to be faithful, even if we aren't successful.
We equip.
Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope.
And we activate.
All God asks of you is faithfulness. That's it. Your availability is what he's concerned about.
Transforming American culture and giving aid to the church here and abroad. This is AFA at the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Walker Wildman.
Welcome to AFA at the Core, this Saturday edition of AFA at the Core here on American Family Radio. Our website is afr.net, and on our website, afr.net, you can find my podcast page, AFA at the Core. And we have some exciting news before we jump into the news of the week. AFA at the Core will be transitioning just in 2 days. We'll be transitioning to a weekday show. So you won't hear AFA at the Core just on Saturday. You'll hear AFA at the Core Monday through Friday. And so that's what's coming up this next week. AFA at the Core will transition to a weekday show here on American Family Radio Network. So we're excited about that. And it won't just be myself. I'm your host, Walker Wildman. It won't just be myself. My brother, Wesley Wildman, will be co-hosting with me each Tuesday and Thursday, and we'll have some special guests each week on the show to talk about the core values of American Family Association and news stories related to those core values and what's going on in our country. We're going to talk through that each day during the week at 1 p.m. Central. So we're excited about that. Stay tuned for that in the coming days, and to find out more information about what we're doing here at American Family Radio, American Family Association, just feel free to visit our website, afr.net. You can also subscribe to AFA at the Core wherever you listen to podcasts, whether you listen on an Apple device, an Android device, and other places, all the different platforms that are out there. AFA at the Core as a podcast is on the majority of those platforms. So just type in my name or the name of the show, and you should be able to subscribe there. Couple things, you know, this we had over the past, well, 18 months and more now, we saw where various states were, and various municipalities were punishing churches. They were punishing churches in the name of COVID. More specifically, there were these various restrictions that were put in place, in many cases unconstitutional restrictions on religious gatherings, on Christian churches gathering to worship and gathering to do ministry. Well, one of the areas where we saw this is Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. is a federal city, but they also have a mayor and other officials that run the District of Columbia. And the government in D.C., the local government there, has been fined for keeping a Baptist church there closed down. Capitol Hill Baptist Church went to court against the District of Columbia, and won. This is a huge, huge victory. Reading from this pjmedia.com news story, on Thursday, the Washington, D.C. government agreed to fork over more than $200,000 to settle Capitol Hill Baptist Church's lawsuit challenging Mayor Bowser's COVID-19 ban on in-person services, even services outdoors, with proper social distancing. Moving on in the story, Bowser's restrictions prohibited church services with more than 100 people. This Baptist church in D.C. has 900 members. The church even tried to transition to a stadium, an outdoor stadium, and the mayor refused. The church ended up beginning its lawsuit in September of 2020, and a district court granted an injunction in October. Brazier has since dropped the COVID-19 restrictions in Washington, D.C. This is great news, and we should not even be at this point. Let me just remind you, this is a legal victory. But what happened on the front end of this story, by the mayor of D.C. infringing on the First Amendment rights to gather and to worship, to assemble, these rights were infringed, clearly. But thankfully, we have law firms out there, such as First Liberty and others, that go to court for Americans, go to court for Christian individuals, business owners, organizations, to defend their religious freedom. And that is a core value here at AFA, is the right and the freedom to worship God, whether in private or in public. And that was upheld here in Washington, D.C. court system. So that's good news, and hopefully that this precedent will spread across the country to all the states, all the cities, where the right to gather, the right to worship was infringed upon. If I was a church out there, if I was a business out there that had restrictions, in my opinion, many of these unconstitutional restrictions put on these churches across the country, I would be lawyering up, because this case sets a good precedent to win damages for all those cities and all those states that kept that tried to keep churches closed down. And so it's good that we're fighting back. We have to fight back. We have to fight back against and defend against the advances of the left, those who hate God, those who hate our Constitution, and those who hate our country. So good news item there out of Washington, D.C. Heading down south, you know, there's various states have been passing all kinds of laws aimed at protecting the unborn child, at protecting unborn babies. And the goal here, let me be clear, the goal should be, must always be, to outlaw abortion 100%. That should be clear. There is no middle ground on the issue of protecting those created in the image of God, which is all human beings. This could take place incrementally, we're seeing that, but the end goal should always be to outlaw abortion 100% in the United States and around the world. So that priority is clear. Louisiana and Texas is considering, but Louisiana passed a bill that is aimed at providing warning labels for young women who take these abortion pills. These pills come in different names, and that people call them different things, but the name of this bill in Louisiana is called the Abortion Pill Reversal Act. And what it does is it requires all these pharmacies that are putting out these pills, that are prescribing these pills, or are dispersing them, rather. The doctor actually prescribes them. But it puts out a notice on the box of these pills. It gives women information to know that if they regret this, if they do not want to do this, if they want to turn this around, that there is medicine out there that will save the baby. So many of these packages come with two abortion pills. They come with two pills. You have to take them separately. But if you only take one and you begin regretting that decision, this law requires there to be basically a notice and instructions on this prescription that notifies the moms that if they regret this decision, they can turn it around, they can turn it back, and there is medicine that can take back the damage that these abortion pills do. And the Heartbeat International, a nonprofit, they predict that more than 2,000 infant lives have been saved through the abortion pill reversal protocol thus far. That should not be taken lightly. Any baby saved is worth it. Any baby saved is worth it. And so this is good. This needs to take place across the country. Texas, the state of Texas, is we're trying to get something like this done in Texas and other places across the country. So that's what's going on in Louisiana. And by the way, that law was signed by a Democrat governor there in Louisiana, John Bel Edwards, there in Louisiana. One other story in this segment, and then by the way, next segment, we're going to have on with us M.D. Perkins. He's a producer and a spokesperson here at American Family Association. M.D. Perkins is responsible for one of our latest cultural institutes, Understanding the Dangers of, quote, Gay Christianity. So we'll have M.D. Perkins on in a few minutes with us after the first break to talk about his latest Cultural Institute video series, Understanding the Dangers of Gay Christianity. We'll talk about that with him, so stay tuned for that. The one story I want to get to before we go to the break is, this is a Stanford doctor. I'm going to play this clip here. This is a Stanford doctor on with Laura Ingraham on Fox News talking about what the Biden administration is doing by trying to bully people into getting this experimental COVID vaccine. It is plain wrong. Let's listen.
For instance, there's such a sad story about Barbara. I think for people who are older, they are actually kind of in a tough position. COVID actually can cause strokes, but so can the vaccine. Whether it's actually difficult to track when you have a common side effect like a common condition like a stroke. It's actually harder to find that the vaccine causes an increased risk of it statistically than it is to find a rare side effect like myocarditis in children. We found it because it's rare in children and you see it against that low background noise. So I think we have to be honest with people. These vaccines are still under experimental use authority and these vaccines do have side effects. For older people, I think it is still worth the risk, but you don't bully people. You tell people, go talk with your doctor, talk over the risks, and then make your own decision. That's the right way to do public health. What we're doing now is just wrong. It's going to create vaccine hesitancy, not eliminate it.
He's exactly right, and that was a Stanford doctor, Dr. Jay Baticara out of Stanford, and he's saying that, you know, this campaign, this shame campaign that the Biden administration and HHS is working on, where they're trying to bully people into taking this experimental vaccine, it will backfire. And he says it's, quote, just wrong, quote, you don't bully people, end quote, when it comes to something like this experimental vaccine. And look, study after study show that people that are healthy, especially younger people, they are largely not affected by the coronavirus. These companies and the Biden administration, they're trying to push this vaccination to teens and people younger than that. They're trying to solve something that isn't a problem. And now they're talking about mandating the vaccine across the country. All I've got to say is good luck with that. But this is the Democrats, the big government Democrats, helping the big pharma push the vaccine that in many cases isn't even needed. AFA at the core, I'm Walker Wildman. We'll be back in a few minutes.
One of the common areas in our office has some beautiful flowers in a vase every day. They change color and types throughout the year. But one day last winter, I finally slowed down long enough to smell those beauties. There was no smell, and it turned out...
Those are fake.
You know, flowers can look so real, but have no life. Just like so many folks who look like they really belong to Jesus Christ, but there's no life there. Jesus described people who would come before him on Judgment Day with lots of Christian credentials, but no real faith. He says that he will tell them that he never knew them. That's why the Bible says to examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. The time to realize that you don't really know him is now. You can avoid being turned away by acknowledging what Jesus did on the cross for you, being real and honest about your sin, and wanting Jesus to take over your life as your Savior in your heart. We'd love to help you get started. Call us at 888-NEED-HIM or chat with us at chataboutjesus.com.
And my father, your great-grandfather, fought in World War II.
Really?
He was a gunner on the big ship out in the Pacific Ocean.
Wow.
Your great-grandmother did her part, too.
Was she on a ship?
Oh, no. She stayed back home. She and a lot of her friends worked really hard in a factory because the men had gone off to war.
Ooh.
And they held scrap metal drives to help in the war effort. The folks back home were heroes, too.
Here at the American Family Association, we consider you the heroes back home. As you fulfill your responsibility of caring for your family day to day, your partnership with us is crucial as we fight the enemies of freedom in America. Thank you for your commitment to the American Family Association.
Grandpa, what's a scrap metal drive?
Let's get some cookies, and I'll tell you all about it.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training. Here's another of our core values. We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live. Thank you for standing with us as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values, and we thank you for your support.
So they asked me to enter my email address, and the next thing I know, I start getting emails from companies I never even knew existed. What's up with that?
Here at the American Family Association, you have our word that we won't give away, sell, or lease your email address to any other organization or company. We're thankful when you take the time to subscribe to AFA Action Alerts, 1 Million Moms, Engage Magazine, or any of our other online newsletters.
Transforming American culture and giving aid to the church. This is AFA at the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to AFA at the Core here on American Family Radio. Don't forget to download my podcast, the AFA at the Core podcast on AFR.net. We also have a free app. Just download the AFR app. It takes you about 2 minutes. And, of course, lastly, you can subscribe to the podcast. Wherever you listen to podcasts, check out AFA at the Core. You know, each week, at least each week, if not more often, we like to promote and highlight a resource from American Family Association. One of the resources we want to talk about today is one of our latest Cultural Institute series, and that is Understanding the Dangers of Gay Christianity by M.D. Perkins. MD is a producer with American Family Studios, and he's also a spokesperson for American Family Association. MD, thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Walker. Good to be here.
Well, we had Miki Addison on about a month ago, and we talked about her latest that wasn't out at the time on critical race theory, her Cultural Institute. Well, yours came out just before Miki's. Miki's came out in July. Yours came out in June for sale on the Resource Center. And so tell our listeners, give them a little background as to why we felt the need to produce such a video.
Yeah, so I'm a producer with American Family Studios, and so it, as listeners are likely familiar with the In His Image documentary, I was one of the producers on that. And as we got into the research on that, one of the real questions that we weren't able to dig into it nearly in as much depth and detail as we wanted to in the documentary was the question of this affirming church movement that has come into the Christian church. Now, of course, this goes back, you know, to the 60s and 70s, so it's been a part of the cultural conversation within the church for a while, but there was a real need to address this situation because it's still with us. It's still a part of the Christian controversy, the gay debate within the churches, and it has morphed in some ways over the years. And so as I started to do this research, I was talking with some of the other leadership, and there was a real feeling that there needed to be a book that we were able to produce on this. And so I've written a book called Dangerous Affirmation and Threat of Gay Christianity. It'll be released by AFA later this year. Awesome. And so going along with that is this Cultural Institute presentation.
Excellent. You know, this is, when you look throughout church history, this is pretty unusual. And not that there's a sin struggle, and that the church is having trouble holding true to doctrine, but that something so clearly unbiblical, something clearly sinful, like many behaviors are sinful, is being lauded. Not just in secular culture, that doesn't really surprise us. You look at Romans 1, but we're talking about people within the church. We're talking about people who claim to be Christians, claim to adhere to Scripture. And this is just, unlike almost anything else, at least in modern history, this is just taking people, taking over. I mean, it's just taken over so many people who appear to be Christians, and they just don't know how to handle this, or they handle it wrong.
Yeah. I tell you, Walker, when I first started looking into this, I had that initial gut reaction of, oh, this is obviously wrong. How did we even get here? But you start to listen to the arguments that are being laid out. And if you don't have a solid grounding in the Scriptures, there are ways in which these arguments are very appealing to you because they start to appeal not according to the doctrine of Scripture or according to absolute truth. They start to appeal to you on the level of emotion. And that's where it gets you, is because you don't want to be mean. You don't want to be seen as being mean-spirited or bigoted, or, you know, you might have a friend or a loved one who has come out as a homosexual, or you're trying to understand these issues for yourself so you can, you know, be kind and loving to those in your circle. But that's where this whole argument kind of circles around, is on the whole element of emotion. So it appeals to people at an emotional level, and it kind of gets it in the door there, and then causes you to remove your grip and grasp of the Scripture as you start to just elevate people above what God says.
Yeah, and one of the reasons I say it's so unique, and not unique in a good way, is with most sinful behavior, it's and I know American culture is changing, and sin is now accepted that didn't used to be accepted even amongst non-believers. But using, and I know you talk about this, but using the term the sinful behavior that is homosexuality, or now they've turned it to the word gay because it's a little softer, that and putting your faith with that in one name.
Yeah,
talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, the whole idea of the gay Christian concept or same-sex attracted Christian concept, this whole thing of taking this idea of who you are, the self-conception, like you perceive yourself to be gay or same-sex attracted, or I have these, but what does the Bible talk about? It doesn't talk about that. It talks about passions and desires. It talks about temptations. And are we to identify with those things? Are we to take the name of Christ and wed it to this other identity? I mean, no, of course not. We're not gay Christians. A person may struggle with sin. A person may resist sin. And a person may even overcome their sin and change by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
But that doesn't make you fundamentally even when Paul talks about being the chief of sinners, he's doing that within the context of repentance. He's doing that to elevate the work of God in overcoming the sin that indwells him, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, he's able to overcome.
Yeah, he wasn't doing it because it's something he was proud of.
Exactly.
He's proud of his faith
and
his salvation, but he's not proud of his sin. But you're right, he's using it to contrast. But this is like the analogy would be and this is a common analogy, but you know, it'd be like someone who has once struggled with adultery. Maybe they're in a current struggle with adultery, and they're married, and they're not being faithful, but they're a believer, and they're going through a struggle. It would be like carrying that adultery label with them to church,
yeah,
and saying they're an adultering Christian.
Yeah. And what do you think that does in the sin struggle once you start to identify yourself so essentially in that way? You know, I mean, one of the ways that people commonly try and you know, deal with their sin is to try and justify it in some way. You know, how many times have you done something and you just think to yourself, oh, well, that's just how I am, or that's just my besetting sin, or that's my sin pattern, or whatever terms we might use to describe it. When we are saying that, we're actually trying to justify ourselves by our own thinking and trying to make the sin seem not nearly as grievous or offensive to the Lord, and not nearly as something that we are commanded to overcome and strive against, to mortify the deeds of the flesh, Paul says. I mean, that's strong language. That's the language of attack in battle.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this is indicative of a larger problem. And not many sins have an entire political lobby behind them.
Yep.
You don't have groups lobbying for adultery to be made legal and be lifted up, and let's run ads and have a whole month celebrating adultery.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have entire political lobbies promoting murder and people who are murderers. But I will say the church, I think, has had trouble, at least here in America, with complacency when it comes to sin. And we all know this. Look, we know people who have committed adultery within the church. Yeah. We know people who have committed fornication within the church. Those are sexual sins. But other things, theft, unfaithfulness, lying, cheating, all these things. And that stuff has to be taken seriously within the church, so that when someone comes and wants to identify as a gay Christian, that needs to be taken seriously as well.
Yeah, and that is one of the complaints that people lob, is just the inconsistency of Christians to even deal with sin. And that's something that we have to honestly own up to. Yeah, we haven't been consistent in how we've dealt with sin. That doesn't make sin okay. That doesn't make identifying as a gay Christian good, or the idea of homosexuality is now not sinful anymore.
Right.
But it means that we need to elevate our whole entire view of sin as Christ did. I mean, Christ, you know, when he's speaking to the Pharisees and the other Jewish people there in Matthew at the Beatitudes, and he raises the level of what people are thinking about sin, you know, to not just be adultery, but to even be lust in the heart.
Yes.
To not just be the act of violence toward another person, but to be, you know, the hateful ideas that you hold toward somebody, or the anger that you harbor in your heart. I mean, Christ raised, you know, the bar on what sin is. And so that means it condemns all of us, but it also means that there's grace at the cross. But we do have to deal with it.
Yes.
As a people, as individuals, and as churches. We can't just sweep it away or kind of try and put a lid on it, because sin will always become exposed and it will corrupt.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we see the effects of that in the lives of even ourselves at times, and the lives of our family and church. So MD, thank you for coming on, brother. Appreciate the good work.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, there you have it. That's MD Perkins, spokesperson for AFA, also a producer at American Family Studios, a division of AFA. And look, the video that we have here, the production that we have, is Understanding the Dangers of Gay Christianity. You can find that at our resource center, resources.afa.net. We'll post a link to that at my podcast page, on my podcast page as well. But folks, this should be clear. Whether it be the sin of homosexuality or any other sin, the Scripture calls us not to identify ourselves, to attach ourselves to our sin struggles. That's not what identifies us. And this gets into the whole documentary we did on In His Image, about being created and designed in the image of God, and that's how we should identify ourselves and connect ourselves with. And so sin needs to be taken serious in our personal lives, in our congregations, in our small groups, everywhere, everyone we interact with. We need to take sin very seriously and uphold God's righteous standard that he lays out in Scripture. And we all, the sin struggle is real. And this is not to to put out that we're that you will not struggle or that you shouldn't struggle. But what you do when you do struggle with sin is that you point back to Scripture and see what God's Word has to say about that. So there you have it, resources.afa.net. Go get that DVD, check that out, and share it with your Sunday school class, your small group, maybe even watch it with your family there at home. So shifting gears a little bit, and we'll move on to the next topic. There's this talking about twisted values or having your priorities out of order. There's this story out of California where you see, look, let me just set this up. California has their priorities out of order. California is largely run by Democrats. And when I say they have their priorities out of order, lawlessness has been given a pass. Laziness is being excused. Baby killing is lifted up, is praised in California. And now the lives of animals, the lives of animals are being taken more serious and being handled with more importance than the lives of innocent babies in California. And you say, well, Walker, what on earth are you talking about? Well, this is out of the San Francisco Gate, sfgate.com. California's legislature approved in their budget recently of creating a Liberty Canyon Wildlife Crossing, which will be a tunnel stretching above Highway 101 in California, that would provide animals such as mountain lions, coyotes, deer, and elk with a safe way to travel across the freeways, cutting through their natural habitats. This one project is going to cost about $7 million, with another $55 million allotted for even more animal-friendly overpasses and underpasses across the state. And the reasoning is, well, here's how the story starts. More than 30,000 collisions between vehicles and wayward wildlife have occurred in California highways since 2015, threatening species already considered to be at risk and causing more than $1 billion in damage, according to a 2018 study. Look, my point of bringing this up is to not say that a crossing for wildlife is probably not a good idea or it's not going to be valuable. But this shows that people who do not have Christ, who do not have Scripture put in high regard, people that are of the world, that have no basis for their moral judgments, have no basis for their standards of living, have no basis, have no set moral basis for the decision making. People who view the world as all that there is, the earth, that's all that there is in this life, and there's nothing after, there's no creator God. Those people are at high risk of getting their priorities out of order. And in this instance, we see where the state of California is okay with babies being murdered in the name of abortion, right? In the name of women's rights, of pro-choice. So babies can die. Babies can be murdered. They can be slaughtered in the name of Roe versus Wade. But if a coyote or a bobcat gets hit on the highway, the state legislature moves to act fast to protect an animal's life. Boy, do we have our priorities out of order in America. We're at a point where the lives of eagles and coyotes and dogs are so much more important and valued than the life of an innocent human child created in the image of God Himself. AFA at the Core, we'll be back in a few minutes.
You know, in Matthew 19, the scripture records a Pharisee trying to test Jesus concerning marriage, and Jesus responded, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? And for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." In the beginning, the first institution God created was the family. Marriage is the centerpiece of family. As a husband and father myself, let me tell you, marriage is absolutely wonderful. And we want to encourage and educate people to embrace God's design as the fundamental building block for all of human civilization, and to celebrate the lifelong union of one man and one woman as the objective institution that produces human flourishing.
Tune in to By Design as we explore God's true purpose and design for marriage. Just visit the podcast page at AFR.net.
Here's Dr. John Oswalt from the American Family Studios documentary, The God Who Speaks.
One of the remarkable things about the God of the Bible is that he is a God who speaks. The writers of the Bible again and again talk of him as the living God, and when they do, they include this idea that the idols are dumb. They cannot speak. Language is an incredible mystery, really. What is it that makes human beings able to communicate in word? Personally, I think that is the image of God in us, because God speaks. Right at the beginning of the Bible, God spoke the world into existence. It did not somehow evolve from his body. It was something that he spoke.
Visit thegodwhospeaks.org.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Here are some of our core values. AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. AFA aims to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children. Thank you for standing with us as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
Oh, Lord, please let me make it. Please, Lord. Come on, come on.
American Family Association.
Man.
Or American Family Radio.
I missed the show again.
Can't find the time to catch the live shows? No worries.
Wait, what?
You can listen and download all your favorite shows for free.
For free?
That's right, for free. Just visit the podcast page on AFR.net.
Ooh, Lord.
AFR.net. AFA at the Core podcasts are available at AFR.net. Back to AFA at the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to AFA at the Core here on American Family Radio. I'm your host, Walker Wildman. As I mentioned in the first segment, this will be my last weekend edition of AFA at the Core beginning Monday, July 12th. I will be hosting AFA at the Core at 1 p.m. Central here on American Family Radio, Monday through Friday. We'll have AFA at the Core here for you weekdays. You'll be able to get our podcast as usual. You'll be able to keep up with us at our website, AFR.net, as usual. You'll just be able to get the show, get more content Monday through Friday of each week here on the network. And we look forward to developing an audience and continuing to educate, to motivate, to inform, equip, and activate our listeners here on the network, American Family Radio. So I look forward to that just here in a couple of days. Before I jump into a couple more stories I want to highlight, I also want to highlight a project that we're working on here at American Family Association called By Design. And you can actually hear By Design podcast here on the network on Saturdays. But By Design is aimed at uplifting God's Design for Marriage. And that, by the way, that program By Design can be heard at 4 p.m. Central each Saturday here on American Family Radio. That's 4 p.m., 4 to 4:30 p.m. Central here on American Family Radio each Saturday, called By Design, One Man, One Woman for Life. That's what we've been working on. And look, this, I'll just read the mission for you, and then I'll talk a little bit more about it. But the mission of By Design is to educate and encourage people to embrace God's design for marriage and family as the fundamental building block for all of human civilization, and to celebrate the union of one man and one woman as the objective institution that produces human flourishing. A couple statistics. I mean, this is all stuff we probably have heard, but we forget about. But the statistics only affirm that which God says, that which God's word clearly lays out. Marriage, here's one statistic. Marriage reduces the probability of child poverty by 80%. Marriage between one man and one woman reduces the probability of child poverty by 80%. Children raised in married parent families are 2 times less likely to drop out of high school. Married parent families make on average 30% more than unmarried parent families. Lastly, and this is so true, marriage, as God has designed it, is America's strongest anti-poverty, anti-crime, pro-health institution. So what do we need to be doing here in America and our culture to help rebuild the moral foundations of America? We need to be promoting marriage. We need to be promoting family as a good thing, as a noble thing, as something you should take part in. Don't forget to check out our website, afa.net. You can find out more about that project called By Design. One story that this has been shocking, and I'm not being overly climatic, but Tucker Carlson on Fox News, he revealed within the last week or two that his private emails, have been intercepted and read and leaked by employees of the National Security Agency. Yes, the NSA is reading a journalist his emails and leaking them to the media. And so, you know, when we have played the clips in years past of John Brennan, former Obama CIA director, saying that, oh no, we don't spy on American citizens. We never spy on American citizens. American citizens are never spied upon. Their communications are never intercepted. Ha! Who are we kidding? That is a lie. These people lie. They claim that innocent Americans who have done no wrong, who have committed no crimes, they're not spied upon. Their communications are not intercepted. Oh, yes, they are. And Tucker Carlson is just one example. I'm afraid this stuff has been going on for a long, long time. A whistleblower came forth to the Tucker Carlson show and provided information that the National Security Agency picked up communications between Tucker Carlson and someone outside of the U.S., probably someone in Russia. And these communications that are intercepted between a U.S. citizen and a foreign national, the way the law states it and the way it's supposed to work is that U.S. citizen is supposed to remain anonymous. And in order for their name to be revealed, the name of this innocent U.S. civilian who has not committed a crime, the only way for their name to be revealed is for high-level, high-ranking officials in the U.S. government, like in the White House, to unmask those names, to redact or to uncover their names. And we went through all of this, we explained all of this in the final days of the Obama administration, in the early days of the Trump administration, the early months of the Trump administration, when we were talking about Russiagate and the spying on the Trump campaign and all that was revealed. The same thing happened there. The Democrats weaponized the intelligence agencies to spy on political opponents in the U.S. And now they're doing the exact same thing. They're still doing this. And guess what kind of consequences they're going to face? They're not going to face a consequence at all. Because guess who's in charge of our Department of Justice? Joe Biden and Merrick Garland. As long as the Democrats are in charge, and even under Trump, who went to jail over Russiagate, over spying on the Trump campaign? I don't know of anyone that went to jail. One person might have pled guilty to one charge that worked in the Biden administration. But this is absolutely inexcusable. Democrats are becoming notorious for spying on journalists and for leaking their communications. And that's what has happened here under the watch of Joe Biden. So the NSA is intercepting the emails and phone calls and text messages and online communications of American citizens. American citizens who have committed no crime. Their communications are being swept up under the NSA, National Security Agency, and those political hacks at the NSA are then revealing the names of journalists and people who are communicating with foreign nationals, and they're leaking it and using it for political purposes. So we basically have in America, and I hate to be too cynical, but I think this is where we are. We have massive federal agencies that are used as political operations. I mean, these are like political operations centers. Whether it be the DOJ, the NSA, the IRS, the EPA, the FBI, these federal agencies that are behemoth of agencies. I mean, these are multi-million, multi-billion dollar agencies. They pretty much function with the sole purpose of helping Democrats stay in power. Which, unfortunately, this is like what goes on in Russia. This is why Vladimir Putin's been president for like, I don't know, 10, 15 years, something like that. Maybe even longer. Because they're corrupted. This is why China has the same president for 10, 15, 20 years. Same with North Korea. And the same with all these other corrupt countries. Because their elections are not run fair. They cheat. They lie. They steal. And they maintain control of the government all in the name of political power. Well, here we are in America, the land of the free, the home of the brave, and we have massive federal agencies funded by your tax dollars and my tax dollars, and all of our tax dollars are going to fund these agencies. And what are they doing? They're making sure that conservatives never get in office again, making sure that a Donald Trump never takes back the White House. That's what they're doing, and this is absolutely 100% shameful. And elections do have consequences. Elections do have consequences. And the consequence of this last election is staggering. It's staggering. The NSA spying on American citizens, leaking communications to the media, to their Democrat Party apparatus, and they don't even have to answer for it. They don't even have to answer for it. They're not even ashamed of it. As a matter of fact, we should just be quiet and accept it. That's pretty much their explanation. Well, there's this fellow, this lawyer named Andrew Wiseman, and he was part of the anti-Trump Robert Mueller investigation. You know, the sham, the hoax that came up with no crime, started by Obama in the final days of his administration. Well, Andrew Wiseman was an attorney for the Mueller team, and he was on MSNBC this past week talking about this Tucker Carlson story, and here's what Wiseman said. If you think about what Tucker Carlson could have done here, I'm quoting here, quote, if you think about what Tucker Carlson could have done here, he could have followed the same route that the New York Times and other respected journalists did when they were incidentally overheard and may have, in fact, not been incidentally had their call records obtained by the Department of Justice. They could have gone to the Attorney General, and Tucker Carlson could have joined them to say, what I'm concerned about here is not that there was incidental collection when I'm calling a foreigner, including if you try to reach out to Vladimir Putin. He concluded by saying, you can pretty much be sure you're going to be high risk of being intercepted. He went on to say, this is Andrew Wiseman, this is his commentary, excusing the NSA. Quote, he could have said, look, there's a First Amendment issue. I want to be sure there are safeguards. But he didn't take that route. So shame on Tucker Carlson. It's Tucker Carlson's fault. He did, as you said, and as Frank pointed out, he wanted us to use this for his own purposes. And sow distrust, which is so anti-American. And so instead of criticizing the agency that is guilty of a felony, the NSA, instead of criticizing them, these Democrat political hacks, including Andrew Wiseman, they go on and they blame Tucker Carlson for being spied on. So Tucker Carlson, it's your fault that the NSA is spying on you and reading your emails. It is your fault, Tucker Carlson. And who are we? How naive are we? How naive is Andrew Wiseman? He's not this naive. He knows better than this. To think that Tucker Carlson can confidentially go over to the NSA and the DOJ run by Biden people and get them to put up safeguards to make sure this doesn't happen again. You know, to have a confidential conversation about how we don't need to be spying on American citizens, as if that's going to work. These people are criminals. Whoever did this, whoever spied and leaked Tucker Carlson's name to the media, they're criminals. How are you going to negotiate with criminals committing felonies all on our taxpayer dime? You're not going to do it. So what do? You do what Tucker Carlson did. You expose the truth. So kudos on Tucker Carlson for doing that. Shame on the NSA and the Biden administration for spying on journalists like Russia and China do. Shame on the Biden administration. All right. We'll see you Monday for AFA at the Core, 1 p.m. Central, beginning Monday here on American Family Radio. We'll see you then.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.